Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 419. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Happy Oktoberfest, everyone.
Now, is it officially Oktoberfest
right
yet?
Right now,
like,
yes.
Yeah. Like, what determines Oktoberfest?
There's a festival in Germany.
Okay.
That goes on for like a week that's going on right now.
Even though when does it start?
It's just this week.
This week, okay. It's a week beer fest.
That's right.
All right. Jeff
is
here
celebration.
To celebrate Beer Fest.
Sure, yeah.
And Pete's here. He's not celebrating Beer Fest, but...
Nah, beer's gross.
Some beer is gross.
Beer is
delicious.
A coffee oatmeal beer from a local brewery.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
It is very delicious. Like, sometimes you don't get the coffee taste in a lot of those, but...
Yeah.
Nice, good, strong coffee taste in it. But anyway, you know, it is Oktoberfest. But we've been playing some video games. I finished Spider-Man.
Hell yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it is.
I'm close. I'm in Act 3.
I don't know where I was. I felt like I was pretty far, but I've not played it in a long
time. Well, yeah. I mean, last we talked, you were about halfway through.
Yeah, the image you showed was at the Halloween party, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm probably like 2 hours past that.
Okay. All right, yeah. There's something that happens, and...
It changes everything.
Yeah, the city kind of goes to shit, so...
I think I reached that? I don't know, though.
No, you wouldn't
hard know. To say.
Yeah, it's like
it's hard to say if I know because like I play so little attention to the story that you guys could be like,
no. But what we're saying is no, like, no, but the like, open world like changed yeah. significantly enough to the point where you could not have missed it.
Is it like covered in slime or some bullshit? Like,
No, you would know.
Yeah,
there's absolutely no way that you could.
Okay,
you 2 hours after the Halloween party is not
okay. So and then that's attacked, the halfway point. Like,
that
well, that's 2/3.
Wow. Okay. So I guess I have ways to go.
Yes.
But yeah, if you're just doing the story stuff, like it won't take you that long.
Okay.
If you're trying to like, you know, get the upgrades and the suits and everything, that's where the time sink kind of is.
Well, that's the funny thing is like, I think when I stopped playing, I was like almost 60% done with the game because I was doing so much other shit, right. You know?
I finished. I 100%ed it. So
nice. I haven't got back yet to do that. I might when the DLC comes out.
Yeah, the one thing like so, I beat the game and I actually had to go back in because there is a kind of like a quirky achievement for finding something, going someplace in the city, specifically.
Oh yeah, I mean yeah. You can say it like it's fairly obvious. Like
there's an achievement for visiting Ben Parker's grave.
Right, I need to go do that.
And so like everything else is pretty like you pretty much earn it just by playing the game, and that was like the only one I did not have.
Do you just have to go stand there, or do you have to press a button? Like, how does it work?
You go and like when you get there, like Peter will start talking, and then the achievement will pop.
So it just like automatically happens.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, do you remember? I mean, it's not a reference, but like they did something similar in Arkham Asylum. You could find crime in Arkham
yes.
City, rather.
Yes.
You could find right. Crime Alley where his parents were killed, and if you
yeah.
were there, it would like trigger a cutscene, and then you would get an achievement. Like,
basically, for finding like the little Easter egg. That
and which that one was. Is that?
Arkham City.
Really? Okay. Cool.
So, yeah. So, I mean, most of the other ones you'll just earn just by playing the game. And doing all the side stuff. So if you do that, you'll like I think there's four challenges like the Taskmaster stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get at least a silver medal on one of each of the different types.
Oh, I thought it was gold.
No, it's the spectacular one, not the amazing one. So
oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, so if you get the spectacular like. The only ones I had trouble getting to that level were the bomb ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're very like milliseconds will make the difference between your score.
Yeah, it's like there were a couple where it was like I would get the bronze, but I was off by like 200 or 300 points, which I don't know how they score the points, but that's really close. Like,
yeah,
that game is excellent. The ending is quite good. It is set up for sequels, for sure.
Shock,
right?
Yeah, I mean, like, I wouldn't say that to those wondering, maybe, that it sets it up in the traditional sense
of, sure,
like, oh, man, like, who knows? It looks like Doc, you know, like, is going to escape and stuff, like...
Yeah, they leave threads open that they could build off of.
Like, but, like, I wouldn't say that, like, they announce the villain that they're going to be dealing with later and stuff. It's more like, oh man, here's some cool shit that like Peter Parker's gonna do next time we see him, kind of thing.
Right.
Which I appreciate compared to like some of the other stuff that you usually see.
Yeah, spelling it out and being like, here's what it's gonna be. Like, you're gonna, you know, definitely be fighting this person. I think they handle the villains pretty well. What is it? Mr. Negative, is that his name?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's maybe not handled great. He's not given
more
his
of enough. Him, actually.
Yeah, he's not developed enough, right? Like, he's an interesting character, but they kind of focus more on Otto and building him up, and obviously, you know what happens with him. So, it's excellent game, I thought. So, if you have a PS4, I would definitely say play it.
You have to play it if you have a PS4.
Yeah. I mean, it plays perfectly fine on a regular PS4, too.
So. Yeah, I mean, I don't have a Pro, so, like, yeah. I never even ran into any frame rate issues. I mean, there were a couple bugs where I had to reboot, but, like, I feel like those have been patched out by now, so.
I had one bug where I had to reboot. I was doing one of the bases.
Somebody fell into a shipping crate or something?
I fell into a shipping crate.
Oh.
I got stuck in a crate and couldn't get out.
Yeah, some of their collision stuff with their objects is, like, not amazing.
Yeah, so, like,
sometimes, yeah.
Like, I mean, and I guess that's going to happen. Like, it happens in GTA, too, like, where, like, the world is just so big that sometimes, like, you're going to fall through a crack that somebody missed. But it was fucking frustrating because it was already my second time kind of trying that base. I had to do it a third time.
I never fell through like the level or something like that.
Like I nothing to the point of what, I don't know if you guys saw what Aaron posted where he fell through the world.
No,
it was actually underneath the city. Like he could look up and see up.
Oh yeah. I saw his video.
Yeah. But he couldn't get back into the world. He was basically in like a hell void.
That's amazing.
For the most part, like I think it's very well polished, and I like just about everything with it. And
yeah, I think my only issue.
Yeah.
Now that you finished the story, maybe you picked up on this and stuff. I felt like the game ended, and there were some important plot elements that they just didn't wrap up, like that. I later, like in discussions with people on Twitter, found out that like you get answered through like a radio message or like a J. Jonah Jameson podcast and stuff. Like, you know, like okay, so for example, like all the stuff with Norman Osborn, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
And then there's the after credits scene with that character and stuff, and I'm like, wait a minute, like wasn't he running for mayor? And then like he was sort of exposed fairly openly throughout the story, like, and they right. just, and then you just see him like in his apartment being like, nothing's changed and stuff.
Kind of, I mean, chilling. He's
right. Pretty... I don't know. I expected some resolution to what was a pretty large plot point to the entire story, and but then I heard some people saying like, nah, man, if you just like catch a newspaper or a radio call or something, like you hear blah blah blah. Yeah, I was like, what?
I did not catch anything that like resolves that aspect to it, which, yeah, it just kind of is left. To me, it was just left hanging.
Right. I mean, and I just like I still don't know, like, it's like, oh, all right, I guess that's just how it is. I don't know. Yeah, that felt a little awkward.
I tied it up to dude is a powerful politician and ultimately crazy guy was doing some bad shit and he blamed it on him.
Sure. I mean, that's also entirely possible.
I mean, it's entirely how America runs right now.
Yeah.
That's a weird correlation that, like, I mean, I don't know if that was purposeful, but...
No, I think it was. I mean, the game makes several allusions. Like, the game has some weird politics, but it also does make some strong allusions to current events, like Fisk Tower, for example, or, all of Norman Osborn's campaign iconography is exactly like Donald Trump's.
Or the social media... Big news.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, yes, the J. Jonah Jameson stuff. Though I also, yes and no, because I also feel like if he existed, like, you couldn't do the Raimi interpretation of him anymore. Like, you would have to make him, like, a podcaster or something. Because newspapers don't, like, really do anything anymore. So, like.
Yeah, he'd have to be some sort of, like, online like news persona.
Right. Yeah. And stuff. Yeah. So it's weird. And then like, you know, I don't know. The stuff with Spider-Man kind of like being a cop was like real weird. But
that was strange, especially since there's comments that Peter makes, you know, well, I got to get out of here before the cops get here. But then like there are other times when he's just like buddy buddy with them. So it's like
Spider cop.
What's going on?
Where he's just like, man, I really want to be a cop right now.
And he's like, being a cop is a really hard job. Sometimes you have to shoot people.
All right. And I think maybe had the game balanced that with some more like corrupt cop stuff, aside from the opening mission and after game, none of it. I was like, slightly uncomfortable feeling.
Is that kind of I was kind of joking though. Is that kind of like the vibe that it gives off or something?
The vibe that, I don't know. So like, I mean, for like. Okay, so
or just has like a pro cop stance, or...
like the Oscorp towers. I thought they were surveillance towers, or are they just like radio towers?
I think they're just networked. Like it's a like a networking tower. I don't think it's actually surveillance. It just Peter is able to tap into them to increase his surveillance ability.
Okay, because the game frames them like very awkwardly, like. Oh man, we paid this. We paid Oscorp to like increase the police's ability to stop crime. Like,
sounds about right.
Spider-Man's like, oh yeah, sure, man. I'm gonna go around the whole city and fix all this shit.
I'll hook all this up, and I'll just keep doing work for you guys.
Right? Because you know, cops are my buds and stuff.
Yeah, and like I don't that is a weird thing, especially for Spider-Man. Like he has always had kind of an antagonistic relationship with police,
right?
Where they don't like him, like
right, which is like the whole reason why like Yuri can't like tell anybody that she works with him and stuff, like,
right? But all the cops are like openly like, "Hey, man, hey Spider-Man, we got this. You good?"
Right, like. And like half the missions are the cops being like, "Oh my god, thank God Spider-Man's here!" Like, where?
It's weird. Like, and I mean, I certainly don't fault people for being like, "This is strange," and I feel weird about it. But the people that are like, "Man, there were corrupt cops in the beginning." Like, it's not like, all right, like one example of it doesn't take away the fact that this is a little strange and.
Yeah.
Not really how Spider-Man is dealt with generally in the comics.
In terms of like the police and shit.
In terms of the police.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like to be like in the comics, Spider-Man and the cops are usually at odds because he's usually like taking down a bunch of corrupt cops and stuff like that. And like, yeah, I'm not saying the game had to go all the way in the other direction and make cops like the villains and stuff.
Which is kind of weird that he's helping like a surveillance state.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was weird and stuff. I mean, I get like part of it is like them just like being like, "Oh, haha, it's a video game." Like,
right.
You know,
and
you gotta do video gamey shit and like, cause it's a, what do you call it? You know, open world and all that stuff.
It's, I mean, Yes, I just kind of suspend my belief on that one. Like, all right, it's a video game. It's not perfect, but it's damn fun playing it. I like swinging around, and for the most part, it hits some political points that I agree with. So,
for sure. And like, which is why I think the cop thing is like ultra strange.
Yeah,
in the tack that it takes with everything else. You know, also not the end of the world.
Like, no, and I can't wait for the DLC that comes out, I think, in October. So,
yes.
Like, I'm looking forward to playing more of it.
And I have 3 new suits with that stuff, too, which is going to be awesome.
Nice.
Psyched.
Tony.
Yes.
Tell us about Valkyria Chronicles 4.
So. The original Valkyria Chronicles was the last game in the series I actually played, which came out for the PS3 like a decade ago. And then they made 2 more games that were on Sony's handheld systems, which I didn't own any of. So, okay. Valkyria Chronicles 4, it's back. The original was a PS3 exclusive. I'm playing it on Xbox this time. So for some reason it has crossed over. I'm not really sure why. But
is it like only on Xbox?
No, it's on Xbox, PS4, and PC, okay. I believe.
I have to imagine back then that was due to either not wanting to, like, not bothering to want to port a mainly Japanese audience game.
I mean, it's clearly a Japanese game. It's got a very, like, anime thing going on, so I'm sure that may have been a factor.
It's on everything this time. Like,
even Switch, so. Yeah.
And they remastered the first game for everything as well, so like
they did.
Yeah, the first one they remastered.
I don't think it's on Xbox.
No,
maybe. I don't think so. I'd have played it if it was.
Or is it out yet?
Might not be out yet. Let me see. Valkyria Chronicles remastered.
Anyway, while Pete's looking it up, so it's a strategy game. You play as the commander of a squad. And it has a really odd strategy bend to it. So what you do is every turn you'll have a number of activations. And you can choose one of your squad members to activate. And when that happens, you can move them around. And while they're moving around, if the enemies can see them and they're in range, the enemies will shoot at them. At any point, you can choose to take your like firing action and like fire back. And then you can move again. Until your movement points are gone or you decide to end your turn. It's really weird. It's kind of an odd, like, real-time and turn-based hybrid.
Huh.
So basically you're having, like, action moments where you, like, activate this person and, okay, it's their kind of I guess it might be third person. Third person is shooter type action. And then when they're done, okay, you can activate somebody else. Or you can use your multiple activations on one person. And all the people in your squad are different. So you have some of them who might be a sniper, somebody who's a scout, or somebody who's like a stormtrooper, or somebody who is an anti-tank person. They call them lancers because they have this really like weird bazooka thing that's shaped like a lance.
Okay, that sounds cool.
Yeah, and you also have a tank, so your commander rides around in this tank that has a mortar on it and a cannon and a machine gun and can do lots of damage. And the enemy has tanks too, so you'll have your one tank versus their multiple tanks, and you have to like use your infantry tanks to like balance the odds. And the tanks have like weak points, so you can like walk around behind and shoot them in the back, and they'll explode. It's kind of cool. This time they added a mortar. So you have little mortar people now. The cool thing about the mortar is that it can like sit in the back of your guys and shoot anybody who your other guys can see when they're moving. So you'll see the enemy will take their turn and they'll have this unit moving along. And the unit will be moving along and mortar shells will be falling on them. It's kind of cool to watch them blow up. The game is very childishly anime. It's got some weird stuff going on.
Sure does.
Your captain is Captain Emo. He was concerned in the first mission because despite the fact that you dominated the enemy, you killed some flowers. The flowers were a big concern. In the second mission, Mortar Girl joins your squad, and then at the end of the mission, she slaps him in the face. You don't really know why.
Is that his name? Is that her name, Mortar Girl?
I called her Mortar Girl. They all have actual names. I think her name is Riley.
I like Mortar Girl better.
I mean, I've come up with names for all of them. There's Captain Emo, and he's in charge. I think he's actually a lieutenant, but he's Captain Emo now because he's so emo.
I think your names might be better.
Yeah, so it's fine so far. I think the balance of storytelling to actual gameplay is a little out of whack. Because I know I played for an hour and a half today, and I only got through two missions, and the missions went by pretty quickly.
Okay.
So I'm kind of hoping they fix that as it goes along, like now that I've made it through the tutorial and kind of established like what's going on in the story. But I'm not going to keep my hopes high of that. The gameplay itself is fun. It's interesting. There aren't strategy games that normally have this kind of weird hybrid thing going on. So it's kind of interesting to play through and figure out who should do what at what time. But there's so much anime angsty stuff and groaning, and I don't know.
Now, can you skip all the cutscenes and stuff?
You can skip the cutscenes, sure. There's an achievement for watching them all, though. I think that's the thing that's guiding me.
Driving you.
It's like you get to the end of the game and you miss this 80-point achievement because you're like, oh, I couldn't sit through the cutscene.
It's like they know.
They know. It's 80 points. I can't miss an 80-point cutscene.
I mean, you can.
I could. I might be happier if I did, but I'm not going to because it's 80 points. I have to have it.
I kind of like the art style on it, but
the art style is great. I really like how the game looks. It's kind of got this like combination of shaded and comic booky Batman stuff. So things will explode, and you'll see a little bamf. It'll have like the words pop up. I love that stuff.
Yeah, this does seem pretty neat. And was the first one similar to this?
Yeah, the first one was very similar. Also, a lot of fun. I don't remember it being as cutscene heavy.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that it cuts down as the game moves on.
They, Japanese RPGs generally do. Like,
yeah,
a lot of times they start off very cutscene heavy and then dial that stuff back.
Yeah, the couple missions I played too have been interesting. Like they're not kind of just running through and randomly killing stuff. It's you have an interesting mission and a cool task before you, a problem to solve that isn't generic.
Nice,
which is nice.
Pete, did you find out about Remastered?
Pete died.
Okay,
come back, Pete.
I did. I was just gonna like since he was looking, I was going. Remastered came out in May 2 years ago on PS4, and it comes out on the Switch in about a half a month.
Yeah, and I know it's on PC as well.
Yes.
But I don't think it's on Xbox.
It's not on Xbox One as far as Wikipedia says. So.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
The remastered on PS4. I mean, it's okay. A good game.
You play anything else?
I play, obviously, Spider-Man, but some NBA 2K. I finally managed, in my first time ever in an NBA 2 game, the self alley-oop.
Oh, I saw that clip that of you doing that.
I was so excited there might have been, like, fist pumping involved. It was kind of an accident. If you watch the play, like there's another player on my team coming down the left side of the basket. I'm like, oh, there's an alley-oop lane right there. And I hit the alley-oop button and my player's like, oh, I'm just going to throw this straight. I'm like, fuck, hit the X button and I slam it down. And
Is there an achievement for that, or
there's not an achievement? No,
but it's still cool looking.
It's still cool looking. It looks awesome. Like the players all like try to block something in the wrong direction and watch as I slam the ball on them. It's great. It's
great. Yeah, I saw that clip at a that had come up. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I played some Onrush, which is free on Game Pass. It came out earlier this year. Codemasters racing game. I don't know. Well, maybe racing's not the right term for it, because you're not racing to be first.
Oh no,
they're objective based events. So, in one, I think it's called Overdrive. You are trying to boost your way through. You gain boost by making jumps or taking out what they call fodder, which are like drone cars, and you knock them out and you gain a boost. And as you boost, you gain score. And you're trying to get your team to a certain score. Then there's another one called Countdown, which is basically like a slalom type thing where you're trying to hit gates. And as you hit gates, you are increasing your team's time. And like the clock on both teams is driving down. So everybody's trying to drive through these gates to keep their time going. Cause first one to lose their time loses. And there's like another one. It's basically King of the Hill, but you're moving, like the hill moves while you move. So you're trying to like gauge your speed within the circle and, you know, have more people in the circle than the other team. It has takeouts like or takedowns like in Burnout Paradise. Problem is the game just doesn't control great. It's really sluggish, and I don't know. I don't know if the objective based kind of function that the game is set up on works for a single player type game, because all your teammates are the computer, and you're playing against the computer. So it's a really weird feel. I bet the game feels fine when you play with other people, but as a single player game, it's really strange. But it was free in Game Pass, so free is cool.
Free is the best price.
Yeah. I also played a little bit of PUBG because I actually finished up the Fortnite Battle Pass for last season. So there wasn't much more reason to play any more Fortnite until the new season came out. So I was like, I'll try some of this that I haven't played in a while. There's now three maps on the Xbox One.
Three? Version. Wow.
Yes. Yeah, it's the island one that they added. Yeah.
Which is, I mean, I think I like the fact that there are three different maps. The game plays pretty much the same on them, but the different geographies. Smaller,
but the island map's like
the island is smaller, yeah.
In its size.
Yeah. I do like the vehicles in that game. Shooting is okay. I mean, I'm playing on a controller, so maybe that's part of the issue. I'd probably play a whole lot better if I was playing mouse and keyboard with it, but I don't like playing shooters that way, so. But the one thing I really want to talk about was the way that they do their... So they have a thing called the Event Pass, which is similar to the Battle Pass in Fortnite. Now, the Battle Pass in Fortnite is $9.50, and it lasts 10 weeks. There are 100 premium tier items, although, so like, there's 100 tiers that you go through, and each tier grants you an unlock of some sort. And the free version of the Battle Pass like has like a quarter of that, and you gain something every few tiers. Tiers are earned by doing challenges, of which there are daily challenges and then weekly challenges. Same concept in PUBG with theirs, except theirs is only a month long, costs $10, only has 30 levels, and it takes fucking forever to level up in that game.
Oh, God.
I played for 7 hours over the weekend. and went up 3 levels.
Well, that's not good.
It just takes a inordinate, like the weekly objectives are excessive, I think. Like play 30 matches on, and I guess if like you're playing a lot of that game, like, but like Fortnite's weekly challenges are like open up 7 chests in this one area, or, right. You know, kill 5 people in one area, where like the ones in PUBG are like, you know, get 10 kills or something, with this type of gun. And also, we're only going to give you 100 experience points for it, and each level needs like 400 or something like that. And like with Fortnite, when you play the game, like you're earning experience as you go along for each match you play. This, like, you earn battle points, which can be used to buy loot boxes, but you earn such a minuscule amount of experience that like actually upping your tier in their event pass takes forever. Also, the stuff in there just isn't, I don't know, it just isn't doing it for me. And maybe it's like I enjoy kind of like the absurdity of Fortnite versus what they're offering in PUBG. But it just, that event pass does not seem on the same value level as what Epic is giving with Fortnite.
Yeah, no, not the same.
It's like I got the, I have not paid for, like, actually paid for a battle pass in Fortnite in, since like I started playing it 3 seasons ago. Like, you earn enough money playing the game that you can like buy a new season with the money you've earned, which is nice. But I don't think there's a way for you to earn whatever PUBG's currency is. Like, they have 2 currencies, so strange.
I don't know. I actually haven't played the game in like 6 months, so.
Yeah, they made a lot of changes, and I'm not really sure I like how they've tried to.
I mean, that stuff is like the reason why I've played anyways. Like, the cosmetic,
right, sure,
stuff. So, like, I don't know that it would really affect my opinion of the game. I mean, it does. I mean, it definitely sounds stupid, like, especially when I was looking into it before,
yeah,
when they announced it.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, like, so in Fortnite, like, you know, the skin you use or whatever is like, you know, there isn't any, like, you're not changing clothes or anything on the fly. Like, you're, you know, if you're dressed as a giant furry bunny, that's what you are for the entire match. Like, whereas in PUBG, like, you're adding a helmet, you're adding a vest, like, what you're wearing isn't really, like, outside of, I guess, the loading area, the waiting area. Like, there's not much reason for personalization, but I do like that I have a spaceman with a cape right now. So in Fortnite, not in PUBG. Yeah. In PUBG, I have a chick with some tan pants and a polka dot shirt. That's because that's all I've unlocked. But I don't know if, you know, you want to play any of that. I have it reinstalled on my machine, and there's achievements now, for PUBG. So,
and they're retroactive. So if you, already did stuff in PUBG.
Yeah. Like when I booted it back up, like, some stuff popped immediately. So that was cool. I wish Fortnite would add achievements for the battle royale mode.
There's not.
No, they don't have trophies or anything either. Like,
what?
They're still technically in beta.
Right, but so is PUBG. So
PUBG
is not in beta.
PUBG is not in beta anymore.
Oh, not on Xbox anymore?
No, they're full. Maybe that's what it is. As soon as,
I don't know if the console makers allow them to add it if the game's in beta or not. So it may not be their fault, Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, Fortnite does have achievements, but only for the Save the World mode, not for,
right, but that's not the part that's in
beta. No one plays it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not much reason to play that other mode. So it's okay. But if you want to play a horde mode, play Gears. It's better.
Yeah, Left 4 Dead still exists. So.
Right. All right. Jeff, you finished Tomb Raider.
I did. I finished Shadow of the Tomb Raider. And
where does it fall for you?
I mean, I had a great time. I enjoyed myself playing it, you know. It does a lot of things I wanted the series to do, you know, like there's really not a lot of combat in it. It is very focused on like exploration, puzzles, traps, tombs. Some of the tombs are like very huge. Some of them are kind of smaller, like the ones in the other games. But everything it kind of does are like things I wanted the series to do. So I liked it. I think it's a pretty good game, but like it does feel a little like, I don't know, too little, too late. Like, it's just not, it's a good, solid game all around, but it's like, even though it makes the improvements that I want, like, it's never going to be as impressive as it was, like, the first time, like, 5 years ago when we played the first one, you know?
Sure.
But, yeah, I think it's, like, if you like the series, and if you, like, wanted to see it and go in the direction I wanted it to go, they did that, so... Like, props to them for that, but it's just kind of, like, it didn't feel quite as remarkable to me, for whatever reason, as the other ones.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of makes sense, I guess. Like, it's the third one of these, even though they've made improvements on it, it is still the third one.
Yeah. I do think, like, even all things considered, that there's things to like about all three entries in this series, like, there's things like to be like, I like part two because of this. I like part one because of that. And
right.
I think they're all kind of equal in a way, even though like this one does a lot of things I wanted to do. It loses some sort of surprise at this time. You know, like we've seen all this shit before, you know?
Right. Still one I really want to play. It'll probably be the next game I buy. So
it's fun. It's a good game.
But Forza Horizon 4 comes out next week, so may take a little while for me to get through.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I have Horizon 4 through Game Pass, so.
Yeah. I see. Technicality. Next one I'm going to buy.
It's next one. Exactly. Next one I buy, provided it's before Red Dead, I guess. Red Dead's coming up soon. I really like the Tomb Raider series though, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean you'll like it. I'm just saying it's just like it didn't blow me away. That's all.
Okay, Pete, we got some news.
Yeah, you mentioned Red Dead. That reminded me. Did we talk about Red Dead Online last week?
No, I don't think we did.
Right, I mean, there's nothing really to say other than.
No, we did talk about it.
We did. We were talking about whether they would charge for it or not.
Right,
hard drive news.
Yeah, it's 105 gigs. So, yeah. You know, it's a video game. So do we want to start light or do we want to start heavy? How do we want to end the podcast, I guess?
Let's go dark first and light.
Okay, well, we're going to be on this one for a while. Okay, so yeah, last week we talked about Capcom Vancouver closing down. And that one was a little less spectacular than this one in terms of like explosiveness. It was just Capcom sort of being like, all right, you know, Western studios, no more. We're going to focus in Japan. Like, obviously, people lost their jobs, and that's terrible. But I think, you know, writing had been on the wall, and they've been leaving for some time. So,
yeah.
Hopefully people are safe there. This week, though, on Monday, I believe it was, Telltale closed. Like, just full stop implosion, basically, save for a small skeleton crew.
Like they kept 25 out of like 275.
Yes. So
that's all the employees they had is 275 employees.
200. I said over 200 employees. Over. Okay. So
that's, yeah, I don't that's know. Quite a bit. Like
that's for especially for a studio that size.
I think of them as huge. Like maybe I'm crazy just because like their success. But yeah, okay.
Yeah. So. Let's see. Yeah, one employee, Source on Kotaku, had been working up until 3 a.m. the night before with no inkling that the studio was about to let them over 200 other employees go, leaving behind a skeleton crew of 25 to finish off a final project. And so for a while, everyone thought that Walking Dead and stuff was that final project, but it turns out that Minecraft story mode for Netflix is that project, because I guess they paid for it, they still want it, so they have enough money to fulfill those obligations to board members, they said. So,
and what are they doing? Like, is that a new game, or
so, let me see. According to Variety, estimated 250 employees.
Is it like an anime, an animated cartoon?
I think it's a,
well, if it's for Netflix, I would assume.
Yeah, right? I'm not really sure how it's supposed to go. I don't know if it's supposed to be like, I mean, it's obviously it's supposed to be designed for kids and stuff, but I don't know if it's like, hey, if you're on a tablet, you can, it's kind of like the mobile version of the game, but it's maybe a little less like, oh, you don't move the characters around, you just like choose what they say or what they do and see how the story goes, like, you know, a little more interactive fiction, like quite a video game, but more like a, you know, choose your own adventure video, I guess. So yeah, they were also working on the Stranger Things video game for Netflix, but that was canceled. So but yeah, I mean, I don't know how deep we want to get into the there are, I have three news stories that are tied to this as well. So like, there's a lot to cover here, but, yeah, I mean, the long and short of it is, Walking Dead, the final season, which episode 2 released on Tuesday, will not be finished as of now. For
the moment.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get, that's one of the stories we'll get to. And all their other projects have been canceled. So things like Wolf Among Us Season 2, I don't know if Batman had a third season in production, but all that stuff, what does it say? Including Wolf Among Us, a Game of Thrones adaptation, and Batman. Yeah, all those are canceled. And yeah, I mean, this Kotaku article is huge. Like, there's so much, there's so much shit that went on, like, about this thing that, like, they were like horribly managed, and then they forced out the original CEO, who was the cause of most of that management, and then this new guy came in, and like, that was, I guess, around the time where they had announced that they were changing their engine and right. stuff, and but I guess they were still bleeding cash, basically. Like, they hadn't slowed down production to change. Like, they were still crunching, they were still losing money, and I guess from what I've heard from a bunch of different sources is that like, they were in talks to strike a deal with Lionsgate to get additional funding. I'm not sure if that meant Lionsgate was going to own stock in Telltale or how that was going to work with them. But I guess they pulled out at the last minute, and that's why, like, come Monday, they were just like, all right, we're shutting the doors.
Which technically was illegal.
Yes, and see, that's the other part, is that basically California, right, according to the Warren Act, they have over a certain number of employees, I'm not sure what the number is, supposed to give a 60-day notice required by law. Yeah, and the other thing with all of this is that, like, what do you call it? Nobody's getting any severance. Nobody, obviously, everyone's health care runs out at the end of the month, so, like...
It was the end of the week, I believe.
No, it's end of the month. Well, I guess the end of the week is also the end of the month.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it says here, the Warren Act includes several exceptions, including certain instances in which a company is seeking to acquire new business or capital that would allow it to keep running normally, and notifying employees of a potential shutdown could jeopardize those deals. So I guess it'll be up to a judge to determine whether or not giving warning to those employees would have potentially led to Lionsgate not giving them their money. So I don't know.
They didn't give them the money anyway, so it's kind
so,
of...
So, yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, you know, hopefully this class action suit does go somewhere, because these people, like, deserve to be paid. Yeah. Like,
but it sounds like there's no money to be had.
The reality is,
well,
even if it comes through...
See, what they're trying to do, though, is, like, because the company's going to file for bankruptcy, which means they will be selling off assets, and all that stuff will go to creditors first, and what this class action suit, I guess, could do is put the employees on the top of that list instead of on the bottom.
Yeah.
It was sort of when
employees are like at the bottom of these
settlements. Labor laws in this country are fucked. But if everyone remembers last year, there was a similar thing when Gazillion Entertainment closed down. This was last November, like a week before Thanksgiving. They were the studio behind Marvel Heroes.
Right.
And they just shut down and they were like, sorry guys, nobody's getting paid because we're broke as fuck. Happy Thanksgiving. And so...
I just look at, like, and I mean, granted, we don't work in the industry. We obviously don't have any insight on Telltale's books or Gazillion's books, but it's like, how do companies like this that are working for like DC, HBO, Marvel, Netflix, Microsoft, like, I mean, the Telltale had contracts with all of these companies that they licensed stuff and were making stuff for them. Gazillion had been working with Marvel. Like, how do you mismanage your money so badly that that like you don't?
I mean, I can't remember the specifics with Gazillion. I think it was basically just that people weren't. It was a mismanagement of like pricing and like people weren't buying the costumes and new characters.
Yeah, and I think Marvel had like decided we're done with this. Like, we don't need it anymore. And
but this with Telltale, basically, they had just said, hey, with the exception of the first Walking Dead game, they barely made back their money they spent on any of the other games.
Which is crazy, because it's like, I mean, not crazy that, you know, they didn't make their money back, but like, if you barely made your money back with like the next two things, like, wouldn't you maybe try to change up something? Like,
right, change your pricing model, change something.
Instead, you ramped up production on even more stuff, hired even more people, and
right. I mean, but the company's public, so I don't necessarily know it, how much choice, like in terms of like, oh shit, we need to like not take these deals and like do this. I'm sure everyone was like, fuck yeah, man, Netflix wants to work with us and HBO wants to work with us, like, let's keep going. And then like nobody bought any of their stuff.
Yeah, it kind of hurt that all their games are the same.
Well, right. I don't. I think it hurt that all of them had the same problems. Like, because I think like there were varying degrees of popularity based on the property to a degree. Like the Game of Thrones one, I think could have been better and was bad. But the Batman one was really popular, right? Like, and they did some interesting stuff with that. And I really like Tales from the Borderlands. You know, but everyone was clamoring for another Wolf Among Us, right? Because that one was really good. But like, you know, these are properties that also like don't break into mainstream. Like, I think The Walking Dead, the original, like, had the TV show behind it at the time. In terms of like,
right,
the show had just started. It was maybe in its second, third season. I don't remember. And this was a new type of game, so it was like a perfect storm. And I think after that, everyone was like, oh, their tech is still kind of ass. I'm still losing my saves. Like, I mean, I've never had any of these issues, but I have heard horror stories from
people. Oh, man. Yeah,
Tony couldn't even play the original Walking Dead.
Yeah, right. And at that point, I mean, I think that may have killed all the other ones for me, like all my enthusiasm I might have had.
And that's fair. Like, I certainly don't blame anybody for, like, you know, I've definitely... I haven't played Knights of the Old Republic, was playing through Knights of the Old Republic, and I lost like 3 hours worth of data, like, just due to a crash by accident, and I was just like, fuck it, I'm not playing this game for another 3 years, like, that's it, you know, like, I totally understand that stuff. But yeah, it says, let's see, I'm looking, yeah, I guess that though the studio had released some of its best games in 2018, they have not translated it into adequate revenue. And they all, you know, part of it, I think, was they drove out a lot of their best development people, like the people who worked on the original Walking Dead season left.
Right.
After that, because of like the awful crunch and the working conditions and stuff like that, and like, no paid overtime and all that stuff, like. And they said, according to The Verge, teams would work overtime to meet development milestones, something Buck also corroborated in her tweets. Oh, yeah, there's been an employee going around doing some very interesting threads on what it was like to work at Telltale. Let's see. Yeah. Work overtime to meet development milestones, only for the work to be derided in review meetings with Bruner, who would go on to require heavy reworks without adequately revising the development schedule to provide more time. And Bruder was the guy who was replaced by Peter Hawley, who was the current CEO One of his first major acts was restructuring period that month, which resulted in 90 employees being let go in November. At the same time, morale had apparently improved. Project stayed on track and shipped in a form more closely resembled what had been decided and agreed upon at initial planning stages. But yeah, the whole thing is like a sobering reminder that, hey, maybe don't actually go work in the games industry right now.
Yeah. I mean, unionization. If you were in a union, this could not have happened.
I also think that, yes, unionization for sure. But also, the way this stuff is made, maybe we need a new model of you going and working for Telltale as opposed to, like, you know, in the movie industry, they're contract workers. You get hired and you go work on a project.
Right.
Maybe that's a sustainable way for this to be worked.
Where that would be union.
Yeah, you know,
like, right. I was thinking about this, like, while this was all going down, why we never hear about this stuff in the movie industry, right? I mean, you imagine, right, with all the stuff that happened around Guardians of the Galaxy 3, right, and the firing of James Gunn and stuff like that, and they eventually Disney was just like, oh yeah, all right, we're not going to put up, like, we've delayed indefinitely. We have told everybody they can just go find other contracts and or projects to work on, right? You have to imagine a movie has a crew of roughly like 500 people,
right?
Right, and stuff, and it's not like, oh man, 500 people just got laid off. Shit, like, holy fuck, how are they ever going to find other jobs? And it's like, well, because they're unionized, and the contracts that Disney signs probably requires them to pay them a decent amount of money, either until they get another job, or the
project gets cut off or something. Yeah,
right. Like, and stuff, and like that's the sort of like reformation we need in the games industry, like. You know, I think if we did adopt something of a, like, a model similar to the movie industry in terms of, like, okay, we have distributors, and distributors go to production companies and stuff, but there's also, like, unions for fucking everything, right? Like,
yeah.
And yeah. Stuff like that. Like, there's an editor's union, the director, writer, actors, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, like, the actors are the only ones who have any union protections in the games industry right now. Just as an extension of
that, they're part of SAG and right. Like that's who, you know, they're contracting with to get voice acting.
Right. I mean, and that shit they were dealing with last year when they had to strike and all that stuff. And like, it was really shitty. And stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, you know, they're thankfully, you know, I mean, at least when like there's massive layoffs like this, like people tend to throw around documents and be like, hey, we're looking at jobs here, you know, where there are job fairs, this and that, and stuff like that. So hopefully, these people will land on their feet, and Telltale is one of those studios, like, it sucks, they made interesting games, right, and they kicked off, like, a whole new, like, genre of game, right, like, that doesn't happen very often, right,
Yeah, they fully revitalized the, you know, point and click adventure game, like
game of the year.
So yeah, it sucks to see that this is how everything ended, and all that stuff. But the story will obviously continue as they're being sued right now.
Yeah,
I will say, like Chris said at the top of this, like, I was honestly surprised by the whole thing because, like, as far as I was concerned, they were one of the biggest, like, success stories ever. Like, you know, they came out of nowhere and they were making tons of money. I had no idea that they would have, like this would have happened out of nowhere.
Yeah, well, yeah, I thought they were still, like, kicking it pretty good.
Yeah. Like, I wasn't playing their game still, but I'm sure, like, I mean, I just don't know how, you have that level of success and then it's all gone. It's, like, it's crazy.
It's all on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I hear you. So, yeah, I mean, the other stories are that at the moment, the Walking Dead season 4,
right.
Has been delisted from a bunch of.
Was anyone still like keeping up with that?
Well, yeah, I mean there were people who were like,
no, I mean, hey, like, anyone here?
No, I
own season two, but I haven't played it yet.
I played season two. I thought it was pretty good, but not enough to where I was like gave a shit anymore.
I played season two. I own season three, but haven't played it yet.
Okay.
And I played the. I mean, the Batman stuff was good.
I thought that was unremarkable. Yeah,
I
didn't like it.
Why?
I don't know. It was boring.
It's fair. I mean, it was more
was not that great after the first episode or two.
Yeah, I didn't. I thought Game of Thrones was. Ultimately bad.
I thought Batman was actually really boring though. Like I really did. I know a lot of people say they like it, but I was not impressed by it.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I it felt more like a Batman comic to me than anything else. A weird alternate universe comic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it did feel like they did like take on too many things at once or something like maybe that was part of it
where things went bad for them. So
yeah,
they're also like their model is flawed and the fact that everything they're making is licensed content.
Yeah.
Which kind of puts a pressure on them to keep putting stuff out because they have to pay for having the license. And I believe they had to pay most of it up front.
Imagine if they like took a couple years off and came up with like an original idea, like some crazy sci-fi thing, like story or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
you know, like something. I don't know.
But like the, I don't know. Telltale has never made an original IP.
Yes.
But what if? Like that's what I'm saying. Like,
we like and been, I just don't think that was like their model.
Rising
like,
to a new level.
Right? And that's the problem with the model. It's a flawed model. Yeah. Like you can't let another company have all of that content because you're just paying off the license the whole time and not making any profit.
Yeah, and I look at like what Square did with Life is Strange. They weren't the developer, but the completely original story. Same kind of model of what Telltale was doing, like a narrative adventure game, but fully original. So Square and still drawing a blank on the dead.
Don't Nod.
Yeah, Don't Nod. Like that's theirs, right? Like they get to move on with that. And whereas, like if you want to do another Game of Thrones, you have to negotiate with George R. R. Martin and HBO. And I would have thought that they would have worked something out, like where. They're dealing with it, but they give returns back on what they make instead of
right. And I wondered right because I don't like with Netflix. I have no idea. I guess if they came to companies or companies went to them and stuff like that. Like I have no idea how any of that shit worked.
The Netflix thing sounds like maybe Netflix infused capital into them, which is why they are staying right. open to fulfill their contractual duties to them.
Yeah. So yeah, no word on what's going to happen with that. There was a thing that was put out where they were like, hey man, yeah, we would like talking with potentially interested parties about finishing The Walking Dead. And all that. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that wasn't a smart thing to say. Like, obviously you're going to look into selling what you can.
Right.
Maybe saying that while you just let all your employees go isn't a good look.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the Telltale stuff that has permeated most of this week. If you want just a reminder that the video game industry is shitty and so are its fans, there you go.
Just look at any Twitter thread on
talking about that. Thank you for free.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Those people.
What?
There were people saying they should have made it for free.
If they were really passionate about it, they would work on it for free.
While their families starved to death. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the shitty stuff.
All right. So there's not shitty stuff?
Is there not shitty stuff in the world still? I don't believe it.
I don't know.
This Kavanaugh guy.
I really don't believe it anymore.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, we'll start with this, that Nintendo is not totally like incompetent when it comes to online services. When it was originally believed that if you canceled if you let your subscription for Switch Online lapse, that all your cloud data would just instantly disintegrate.
Yeah.
They have since clarified that your saves will be active still for 6 months.
So,
yeah.
So no, 3 months. I'm sorry.
Oh, so half of the Sony model.
Just okay, well, I don't Sony know because like
6 months.
Oh, no, 180 days is 6 months. I'm an idiot. Yeah. I can't
count. Did anyone sign up for a year?
No.
No, I haven't signed up at all.
Yeah, I'm not signing up for that at all.
I have no need to do it until Smash.
I have zero need to do it.
I'm not going to do it until Smash comes out, probably. Yeah. And then even.
I've gotten zero use out of it. I'm not going to play any of those NES games or anything. Like, I don't know why I did it. I'm an idiot.
It's like, yeah, I'm locked in, though. Like when Smash comes out, I'll want to play with like you and Javi and you know, other people that get it. But
yeah,
that's the only reason. Like I have no, I mean, I don't need it to play Fortnite on my Switch, so I don't need it right now.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I should have just waited. But for me, it's just like, all right, I'm just gonna get it, and it's just like Xbox Live. Like, dude, I honestly don't use Xbox Live almost ever either. But it's just like I want to have it. Just so I know, like, if I want to play something, I don't have to think about it. Like,
right. And for me, at least with Xbox Live, like, or even PlayStation Plus, like, you know,
free games,
the goodies that you get once a month. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And so Nintendo's like, hey, here's games
that you've only owned
and played for the last 40 years.
Like, hey, man. There's
games that you own on everything.
Could you imagine if they were like, hey, you get some GameCube games every month? Man, how cool that would be? That'd be amazing. So it's like,
yeah, but that's like too smart for them.
Yeah. Fuck you, NES
games. Also, why give you GameCube games for free when they can remaster them and put them out on Switch for you?
I would take that too, goddammit. Give me the fucking GameCube games. I don't care.
I fully know that, Jeff.
Also, I don't know, how many GameCube exclusive games are there that are like...
All of them.
If they were to release like a, you know, Prime 2...
sure, Sunshine. Those are probably once the new Metroid game.
Yeah, I'm sure that there'll be a trilogy. There'll be a new Metroid trilogy.
Super Mario Prime Sunshine trilogy.
Yeah, I would take a Sunshine remaster, and I would take another Wind Waker remaster.
Yeah, well, that one at least makes sense because they already ported to Wii U, so they don't have to do a whole lot of work.
Yeah, they could just move that one over.
Like, I don't know why that one.
What about Four Swords port? Like, because that, like, you know, if you have friends with fucking Switches.
No, I'm not, like, a masochist.
Four Swords is fun.
If you have three other people to play with.
I played that single player on the GameCube. The GameCube version. I think most people play the Game Boy version, probably.
I mean, if you patch in, like, online...
Yeah, that would great. Require perhaps more effort than they want.
Right.
They got to finish porting all the Wii U games over first before they get to the game.
Yes. So eventually I will get Wind Waker again. Like.
And you'll get the good version, so.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then in like really shocking news, like Sony was like, hey, we heard you guys want to play Fortnite with other people. And they finally flipped that Switch.
Shocking. It's beta, though. It's just beta. They've just tested. Well, that's why they didn't do it before, because it wasn't ready.
Yeah, I mean, Fortnite's also in open beta, so, like...
Yeah. Now, are they going to flip the Switch for, like, Rocket League and...
So, in terms of that... So, yeah, there's a whole... thing with this where basically as soon as they made this news, everybody sent out comments to literally everybody possible that has a game that could do this.
Sure.
So they basically said, following comprehensive evaluation process, we've identified a path towards cross-platform features for select third-party content. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, so yeah, it starts with Fortnite that'll let PS4 players go up against the Xbox One, Switch, PC, Mac, and mobile. Let's see. Seth, there will be more information on other titles going forward when we have details to share. So yeah, Rocket League was the big one that people talk about. But Rocket League was like, hey, talk to Sony. And Sony was like, hang on. Sony rep told Kotaku, we have no plans to announce at this point, but our goal remains to take a more open stance across platform support. And so the other games, basically, that people are looking at, so like Activision Blizzard was the big one, and they were like, we've had a great experience with crossplay for Hearthstone on other platforms, and we've witnessed how compelling it can be for our community. There's still a lot of work to do on both our side and the platform side to understand whether crossplay might be integrated into our games. So we'll be watching the upcoming tests, and we'll assess the potential impact this feature will be for our players in our games.
Yeah, and I can't see anything that they have coming out this year working. Like the, you know,
no, Destiny, but I mean, you could do Destiny 2, you could do Black Ops eventually, but I mean, Overwatch or Diablo for like Blizzard sure. properties and stuff, you can just flip that switch.
Diablo would be awesome.
And stuff like that. Yeah, and like Destiny, you'd have to do one of those things where like PvP is not allowed cross-platform, like with PC.
Right.
But, you know, you could keep everything in the entire rest of the game, you could totally do. And stuff like that. But Bethesda at least has come out and said that we're not doing it right now with
Fallout 76. But that totally makes sense. That game is out in, what, a month? A
month and a half, basically.
Yeah,
totally. But also, like, I think that game has open PvP. Right, so you could maybe do it across consoles, but putting the PC in there would be a problem. And then, in regards to Fortnite, Epic issued a statement saying, for players who created an extra account to play Fortnite on multiple consoles, we're working on two things. The first is an account merging feature to combine Battle Royale purchases in November, and then enabling unlinking a console from one Fortnite account and remaking it to another Fortnite account coming in a few days. So if you bought two, if you had two accounts, one for PlayStation and then one for
anything else.
Wow, I almost had a stroke there. Holy crap. Literally mid-sentence, lost my entire train of thought.
Don't have a stroke.
But, yes. So, yeah, if you bought separate accounts because you needed one to play on PlayStation and then one to play with everybody else, you can now, and if you had earned stuff or bought stuff, you can now shovel that stuff together.
Nice.
So, that, I think, is at least pretty nice.
I will wait till it's out of beta to try anything on the PS4. But
you mean account merging or crossplay?
All of it.
I assume crossplay will happen whether you want it to or not.
No, that's fine. The way Fortnite is set up, like you have to opt into playing on a different platform anyway. So like if I'm playing on the Xbox, like unless I opt into playing on all consoles, like it won't happen. I'll just play on the Xbox or the Switch or mobile or whatever. So,
well, like if you're on like console, will you play against mobile? Like, can you play against mobile?
You can. So consoles and PC can't opt into mobile games, but you can play with them if you are teaming up. Like, so if you have like,
a private kind of match.
No, I mean, they do have kind of like what is called playground mode, but you have to basically have somebody, like I could have my daughter play on her phone and she could join my Xbox match.
Okay, like, yeah, okay.
But
I get what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, but it's not like, I can't just go on my phone
and just directly play.
Yeah, I want to play with Xbox people. Like, no, they'll match me up with other people on the phone.
But yeah, it allows you. The whole point is to, like, I'll let you party up basically and stuff.
Yeah.
Now,
I don't know with the PS4 stuff if it'll just start putting like filling matches with people from both consoles because it's a level playing field in that way as opposed to, you know, with phones I have to imagine it's.
Well, so like I can't just like even on the Switch, like I have to opt into playing like against people on the Xbox if I want. Like, it won't just match me with people on the Xbox.
That's something I hope that changes. Just, like, fill the playing field with, like, at least sure,
like, why not, yeah.
Everybody that's playing, yeah.
You know, like, sure, I wouldn't want to be a phone person and always being matched with people on a console. Like,
yep.
You know, but if I'm on a PS4, like, who cares? Just throw the Xbox dudes in there. Like, let's go.
Right. And from what I heard is that so if you play with mouse and keyboard, because you can play with mouse and keyboard on the PS4.
Oh, and you will be able to with Xbox later. I forgot to put that.
Yeah. So and that queue, like if you're playing mouse and keyboard, they will match you in with people on the PC.
That's smart. I'm glad that I can identify that stuff.
But if you are, you know, if you start a game with the controller, they will not match you with PC people. So. And you can't switch midway through.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Like, well, you can switch the reverse. You can switch from mouse and keyboard to controller. You cannot switch from controller to mouse and keyboard mid-match.
Right, right, right. That would be not fucky if you could, so.
Right, it's like, oh, I'm going to start with this, and now I'm going to be matched with all the people that aren't doing mouse and keyboard. Now I'm going to plug my mouse and keyboard.
Right, well, it'd just be a way to, like, trick the system.
Yeah, so, like, they evidently, like, they will know. They won't allow you to do that. It's great news. I look forward to the day where I can play Destiny with people that are on PS4 or Call of Duty or something.
Well, like, yeah, a day where this isn't even an issue. So, like, maybe even next generation, it will just be something that's fucking included in the console.
Where we get Battlefield 9 and everybody can play it all at once.
Battlefield 9.
Yeah.
Which will be the sequel to Battlefield.
It'll be called Battlefield 9, but it's actually only the 11th Battlefield. But yeah, that's all my news. So I don't think I looked through a bunch of stuff. I don't think I missed anything. But
no, I don't think there was a whole lot more. Like those were definitely the two big ones.
Been a wild week.
Yeah,
I was gonna say video games, and then I realized that like
real life is even worse.
Yeah, that is true, Jeff.
Spoilers.
I guess games are starting to come out, but
sure,
not
Assassin's Creed next week.
What was that, Tony?
Assassin's Creed next week.
Oh, is it?
What's next week?
Assassin's Creed.
Oh, fuck. Seriously?
What about the real game of the year, yo? Next week. What's Super that? Mario Party.
Oh, yeah. I also heard that their online stuff for that game's total bullshit. No board play online, baby. Just mini game only.
Also, no you can't use the pro controller.
You can't use what?
I can't use pro controller, dude. So I have two pro controllers, and me and my girlfriend are going to have to detach the fucking Joy-Cons off the system to play with it. And when we have friends over, we can't play four players because fucking you need Joy-Cons.
Yep.
More Joy-Con.
Also, no...
Joy-Cons are cheap.
Yeah, like it's just
I don't think
like,
they are.
$80.
Yeah. It sounds like could you imagine how much fun playing board dollars like, actual Mario controller? Party if people would be online?
What was that, Tony?
$40 a piece for a controller is pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it's ultimately only half of one. It's like you can give it to somebody to play Mario Party.
I would rather buy like another pro controller than that. Like it's such bullshit, dude. Like, there's nothing that the Joy-Con can do that the Pro Controller cannot do.
Do have a second set of Joy-Cons, though. I also have two Pro Controllers.
Are you getting it?
No, I'm not getting Mario Party.
Really?
Fun. I've never played a Mario Party.
What? I wanted to get it, but I don't. Right at the moment, I don't have enough controllers.
Whoa, we're gonna have to. Hold on, wait.
You've never played
a Mario Party?
No.
Did you watch the Giant Bomb guys play Mario Party? Because that's a laugh.
I've heard them talk about it and how awful it is. They have not exactly.
Like, Tony, have you played Mario Party?
Nope.
Like, what? Pete?
Yeah, I played them.
Okay, like, well, that,
I'm not going to say they're good.
I thought I was saying Crazy Pills for a second.
It's just not a spin-off that I've ever been.
Yeah, like I mean, you don't have to play it, but like it was really fun for what it was. It was really cool, I thought. For a game or two,
like I mean, those last couple of entries on the Wii were bad, like genuinely bad games. Like they changed all the board mechanics and stuff, and it was upsetting. Going back to that stuff this time, and I wish that they would have just given me the option to do it online. There's no reason why.
Yeah. No, I mean.
most people that I have heard from say that the second and third ones are the best ones. That
they
accurate?
Have the best collection of games, I think. But
which one?
The second and third.
Yeah, I think two for me. But I think I just played two more.
Right.
I honestly couldn't tell you the difference between two and three. So.
But it's like, you know, there's not much to it, but like, those are just very basic. I mean, like, it seemed like they found ways to fuck up other versions that I played. Like, I haven't played all of them, but like, they just always were trying to find some gimmick. Huh?
Did you play the one with the microphone?
No, I never played that one. That one's probably worth a little bit of money right now. Like, just not cheap, anyways.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, even trying to find, like, Mario Party 2 or 3, like, they still, like...
Those two, probably, yeah.
They sell for a pretty penny.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, in 64 games and stuff.
But I do think, like, those first two... Like, I think, like, I don't know, it just feels like I have played some of the later ones. Like, they're always trying, like, yeah, like, a gimmick. Like, oh, use a microphone or whatever. Like, the first couple were just, like, it's a board game. You play it with, like, four friends, you know.
And there's, like, mini games.
Yeah. And, like, this one supposedly, it looks like it's getting back to that. And it looks like the mini games are kind of cool and fun. But it's just, like, why the fuck? Like, why would you do these stupid things? Like, no, like, obviously this should be, like, an online game. This should be a game you can play with all your friends all the time. Like, what the fuck are you doing, dude?
Nintendo got a Nintendo, man. They just couldn't help
it. It's just, they're so dumb about shit sometimes. I'm still getting it, though. Because, like, I just want I want Mario Party so bad. I want Mario Party.
All right. Well, when that comes out, Tuesday, Jeff?
I think it comes out, like, next Friday, probably. Oh, okay. So it probably won't even be, next episode.
Tony, when's Assassin's Creed?
Friday.
Okay, so
or we got the gold edition that comes out Tuesday.
Oh, all right.
So it's not tomorrow, but it's the Friday after.
Yeah. The 5th. That's also when Forza comes out, I believe. So
I might be getting Assassin's Creed. So
Assassin's Creed does look good. I haven't finished Origins yet. So,
what does that matter?
Origins is really good. I still haven't finished that. So what the fuck?
I don't know. I have this thing where I need to finish it before I get the next one. Well, not before I get the next one, because I have bought them in the past. Just I feel I need to finish Origins before moving on to Odyssey. But I am getting Odyssey, and I'm probably going to get that season pass to get the remastered version of 3 and Liberation. And a whole new 1,000 achievement points for both games. Because I got a problem.
You do. You have lots of problems.
Yeah. All right. We will be back next week with something, because all the games evidently come out on Friday. So.
Right.
But we'll have something to discuss. And Jeff, say goodnight.
Problems?
Or say that.
The fuck did you say?